Now I would invite the illustrious Vice President Walt Knorr to give us a financial update. Walter?
Just a point of personal privilege before I start this 30 seconds. Two Saturday nights ago, I attended the a cappella finals, you know, at the Auditorium Theater. And if you've never been to the Auditorium Theater, it's a big place, and it was packed. And not only the Ripcords, but No Comment. No Comment was actually the runner-up. You know, and this is the semifinals before they go to New York. And these guys are outstanding. I mean, they brought the house down, and actually all the groups. And they clearly beat Michigan was there, Michigan State, Northern, Wisconsin, University of Chicago. They clearly beat them. And if I had just gotten to those judges a little bit faster, you know, they could have been a winner.
I'm sorry we didn't have the benefit of your comment when the ladies were here. Thank you.
They were absolutely spectacular. I mean, they really were. Anyway, on to more droll things. It is day 255, with, you know, without a budget, I think some of the things you're going to see here today kind of make you feel like you're in Bill Murray in Groundhog Day because we're seeing it again, you know. And I think the only good news I can probably bring you is this only happens on leap years, you know, so that's the budget situation. Move first to the basically just the ticker, you know, for this year. And again, this is much like since the January board meeting, we continue to have the budget impasse. We have no MAP funding. We basically, all the capital projects are frozen. Our grants are frozen. We're not getting Medicaid payments, you know, for our hospital. We're not getting, we've been able to coax a few payments up to the Medicaid Trust Fund, but going forward, whether the Medicaid Trust Fund is going to continue to see any payments, that's up in the air also. So essentially, it's just basically a cease, you know, all cash flow coming from the state, continuing situation. We are now at the point where, with today's payroll, we have probably gotten to the point where we have reached the level of billing that we would have billed to the state of Illinois that's equal to the size of the beginning FY15 appropriation, $662 million. And that does not include the $60 million of MAP that we would be owed also. There was a, you know, action, you know, on the MAP by the legislature back in February, in the middle of February, passed by the House and the Senate, providing for MAP money and for money for the community colleges. However, the governor vetoed that on the 19th, and the House was not able to override that veto. So we are basically have that situation. We have a current event that we do have HB 2990, which is again an attempt to put together some type of an appropriation for higher education. It was passed by the House. It's at the Senate now. This basically remains to be seen if any progress, any traction comes from that. The Institute for IGPA put out a report in January that basically said that the state of Illinois for FY16 is has a $6.6 billion deficit. Most of that is coming from not having the income tax and the loss of $4 to $5 billion of income tax revenue, and the rest of it is essentially overspending on what we're actually doing right now as far as paying on consent decrees and what Georgia's orders and what has been passed for K-12 as far as funding. So I want to end kind of this kind of ticker on kind of a high note. We did keep the rating for the university. I mean, it's getting much more interaction with the New York crowd in the highest levels of the rating agencies. But we were actually re-rated again during the last 60 days as a result of the higher the letter that came out from the accreditation, the state accreditation, and that sent the rating agencies into a tizzy because they were concerned about the cash flow affecting accreditation of the university. So we got re-rated again. But the good news is we were able to do a financing refunding of some bonds, and I've been at this for 35 years, and billions of dollars of bonds that I've been involved with, both on the issuer side as a banker side, and I don't think I've ever seen a situation where we got a 16.3% savings and $22 million of savings on a refunding. And just as a memento, I basically passed out, you know, the official statement that came with this to everybody. If you don't want it, it's basically a comprehensive document that tells you everything you need to know about the University of Illinois, its finances, its operations, its and particularly in the appendix. But I just thought I'd give that to you as something to mark the occasion and that success. And then off of that, we are going to basically go and do the financing for the student union at UIS. So it'll be done in April. Lastly, I think that the governor did the budget speech on February the 17th for FY17. If we move on to the next, this is what he essentially said. He affirmed that the amount of the budget for FY16 is still a 31.5% reduction from FY15. This means about $209 million. Again, this is from the beginning. This is before the rescission. We had a rescission in 15, but he affirmed that in his speech. For FY17, he had a 21.8% reduction in the budget from 2015, which is about $144 million. He did include $50 million performance budget item to IBHE. Again, how this will ever come out remains to be seen, but if it does by some chance happen down the road, based on the current formulas we have, the University of Illinois would get about $27 million of those dollars. He did put in the monetary award program $365 million in total for the whole of higher education. He put that into the budget. He did make recommendations to for SERS, changes to SERS, and he made recommendations with regard to sharing costs of pension by the university, and we'll have to see how that progresses. But again, there were no new capital items called for in the budget that he put out for 17. Recent developments, again, not particularly rosy. The State Committee on Government Forecasting for FY16, the current year, now is forecasting another $440 million shortfall in revenues coming in because of the way, looking at the way the revenues are coming in for 16. And then 17, they are they're just showing an increase of only $215 million for 17. That's what's in their current forecast for FY17. The state pension funds, basically there's an additional, for 17 is going to be an additional $291 million. So out of that operating budget for the state of Illinois, they're going to have to put $7.9 billion into the pension funds to try to keep up with the amortization of those past due costs. We are aware that the state is working on an overhaul of the health care programs that are given to to state employees and university employees. Well, there's an expectation that this will probably come in the fall. They're going to basically change, to a system of maybe three categories of coverage, and then stratify within each one of those categories of coverage based on salary. But I think there's probably a logical expectation there's going to be an increase in costs coming to the employees as a result of this overhaul of the healthcare program for state employees. And then lastly, on this, that the state controller, you can go and look this up every day if you have nothing better to do, but she posts how many bills are outstanding, and $7.4 billion is owed in bills outstanding right now as of last Friday. We are going to go to see the Senate Appropriations Committee tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, and look forward to having an interesting conversation with them. Very quickly, just go through the rest of this very quickly. This is essentially what the governor has provided for in 16 and 17 versus FY15, the last 4 years, but FY15. But this basically demonstrates this 31.5% drop or $209 million between FY15 and 16 that he has proposed, and for between FY15 and FY17, the 21.8% drop, and $144 million drop in what he's proposing. if you look at basically where we stand, this is kind of losing meaning because of the, we're comparing essentially when we did have an appropriation and we were billing and we were receiving money. But now, we, as I said, we have reached now, I think this is really just a, on the far right side, that is basically just a pro forma presentation of, essentially we're at the point where it was $662 million is basically the level of the FY15 beginning appropriation is basically what we would have based on, including today's payroll, that would be going over to, that would have normally been going over to the state for reimbursement. And on top of that, we have the $60 million of MAP. So $712 million essentially is the total amount that would be in at stake. Very quickly on the hospital through January 31st is break even. It's about $200,000 operating loss right now. Big concern here is basically keeping up the volumes, the very heavy cost of pharmaceuticals that's going on there, and finding those situations. But the other thing is basically even though we've recorded the revenue, you know, from the Medicaid, from the managed care, we're not getting the Medicaid payments as I referred to, and so the receivable is very high. And the cash is going down at the hospital. Last time I looked, it was like 110 days of cash, which is a very, very, very low number for a hospital, for a medical center to have. That should be at least probably three times that number. The payments on behalf, these are the new numbers we expect for payments on behalf. We've crossed over into $1.2 billion plus in payments on behalf. We expect that healthcare costs that the state is supposed to pick up, and when I refer to back to that $7.4 billion that the state owes and bills, about $2.5 billion of that is basically monies owed to healthcare providers that's not being paid. I'm sure everybody in this room probably has a story about not being paid, you know, for their healthcare coverage and their situation. So, we're looking at essentially the cost of healthcare going up to about $527 million in FY16, about a 6% increase over 15. We're looking at about $707 million would be the contribution to SERS for us. Of that, $159 million would be the normal cost. The normal cost number is going down as we basically have more people going into Tier 2 and basically retiring out of Tier 1. So that number, that normal cost, and that's where I expect that we're going to basically see that we're going to be involved in cost sharing. To date, I don't know, but the rest of that unfunded liability from the past that they need to amortize, they're still saying that they're basically responsible for that, but we'll see. The next item, very quickly, on the endowment, annually I report to you on the endowment of the university. The endowment for the university was $2.4 billion as of the last fiscal year, as of June 30th of 2015. You can see our place in line. It's probably right in the middle of most of those. You take the Northwestern and Michigan, the obvious ones over here on the far left. You take those out. You look at some of the other ones that are ahead of us. Penn State, they report on a FASB basis, so they have about $1 billion of unendowed invested that they have in their numbers. We get these numbers from the Common Fund study. So, but they basically, I think, report on a different basis. Ohio State basically sold their parking garages a couple years ago, got about $600 million, and dumped it all into the endowment. So that popped their endowment up. So if you look, though, now at the growth between 14 and 15 in the endowment, we're at 4.9% growth right in there. I think Rutgers is the leader here, but they're coming off of a much smaller base. They were just finished the last of a campaign, so that's why they're so far over there is the big pop, you know, going on at Rutgers. But our increase between years was 4.9%. Now the numbers that really come to the university coming from the endowment, the total distributions or the monies coming from the foundation to us from the endowment or from the foundation and the endowment, $168 million coming in FY15 to us, and we incorporate that as, and you can find that right in our budget as far as gifts, et cetera, that come to the university. Of that $168 million in FY15, about $71 million is the spending out of the endowment. The endowment, we basically every year make a pledge, you know, or agree to by the foundation board, and basically 4% of the six-year moving average of the portfolio is basically sent over to the university. And the rest of that, so about $71 million out of $168 million, is coming from the spending, annual spending, and the rest of it is basically the pass-throughs of dollars coming into the foundation and being sent to the university on an immediate basis. It's a little bit lower than last year. Last year, we did have some big pops. We had a big Granger gift last year, so 14 is a little bit higher, but it's pretty good numbers for the distributions to the university for 15. Coming down the home stretch here, we have the new numbers, the FY15 numbers for institutional support and academic support for the university, and I think I do this every year. What this means, institutional support is basically the administrative costs of UA, of central administration, and the costs of the provost and the chancellor's offices, the administrative costs. And that is basically the numerator, and that's put over the operating expenses of the university to come up with these percentages. And this is essentially a NACUBO calculation, National Association of College and Universities Business Officers, to come up with these numbers. The idea here, obviously, is to try to be to the right as far as for this calculation to controlling your administrative costs. The first one you see here, this is institutional support for the university, and you can see that we're at the 5.33% level. This is basically all expenditures of the university in the denominator. Less depreciation, that doesn't include depreciation. But you can see we're at 5.33%. It's interesting that you see Ohio State and Michigan, kind of odd that you see them. But when you basically go to the next slide, when you take out the hospital and the medical center, we move further to the right as far as administrative costs, for institutional support and you see that Michigan and Ohio State move to the left, and that's really the impact of pulling the costs of the medical center out of the denominator in this calculation, those expenditures out of that. And you measure this against, and here 7.8% is the average, for the public, Big Ten publics. Of course, we didn't put Northwestern in this calculation. Move over to the academic support. This is administrative costs at the academy. This is all in. This first one, you can see that we're at 9.55% expenditures, administrative expenditures versus the total cost for the university, and you can see the average was 7.8%. It was the average cost. Now we move over to the next one. We take the hospital out of that, and we move up to the administrative costs. Move up to 11.23% against an average for the publics of 9.5%. But this basically gives you a snapshot of administrative costs as the cost is. As their percentage of the total of the university's expenditures. Finish with very quickly. As you know, we've had a freeze at UA in hiring. We essentially have a 2-for-1 going on for purposes of the hiring freeze at UA. I think that as a result of this hiring freeze, and this just measures from since the hiring freeze was put into effect July 1st of 2015 through for 8 months, the actual headcount. Now these are just the ones paid on state funds. This would just be GRF. This would just be the appropriation because UA does not get tuition essentially to operate. It would just be GRF, so state funds. We're down 46 bodies. This would be APs and civil service bodies, or 6%. Of the total body, so we would be down. If you move over to the all funds, and this is basically we would be down 105 bodies in UA, and we have comparisons to the campuses, but I'm just focusing particularly on UA for this presentation. It's 105 bodies, all funds. But a lot of that, some of that's IGPA transfers, is basically some of that's what's happening there with that 105 bodies. Move on to these, just a very interesting, I think, a comparison of staff earnings. This is payroll for 2015. The first column on the left is basically the percentage of how our employees are paid. The first one is paid from state funds. And when we say state funds, this would be the GRF, and it would be tuition. So the faculty is being paid 45%, you know, from state funds and from and tuition. The APs, the academic professors, 29%, and the civil service would be paid 17%, and the rest is going to graduate students. In the middle column, this is basically just all funds of the university, that the faculty is coming is at 33%, academic professionals would be at 29%, and civil service would be 25%. So basically an offset there between civil service and faculty in that calculation. Lastly, the number of employees, and again, these numbers, not quite. Again, and just basically the last column is basically the percent of the employees of the total population, the employee population of the university, with 20% being faculty, 26% being APs, and 37% being civil service. Since we have no budget, I just have one last set of, you know, it's basically just a comparison of what's happened in the last 25 years, you know, with the university budget. And I'm just going to concentrate on the left and the right columns here. This is state and income funds, how they, you know, how much is paid from state and income funds. Now, when you look at the budget, you know, in 1990, 25 years ago, the budget for the University of Illinois, exclusive of payments on behalf, was $1.4 billion. This now in 2015, it's $4.6 billion, exclusive of the of payments on behalf, and you can see that you know, back 25 years ago, that the that UIC, this is before Springfield existed, that UIC was 43% of the budget back in 25 years ago, and UIUC was Urbana was 47%, and what was called central administration at that time was about 10%. If you move over to the right side, now we've changed. UIUC is 35% of the budget, and Urbana is 52%. Now the last slide, hold your applause, is basically looking at the whole of the budget. And this is where it's interesting, because here you see now that after 25 years, that UIUC, when you include the hospital in particular, their budget at the UIUC is bigger than the Urbana budget in total. You know, and that UA, the central administration, went from 6.8% all funds in to now it's 2.5% is the cost of UA. I just thought I'd just, you know, kind of give you, since we lack a budget, just thought I'd give you an historical perspective on where we come from in the last 25 years. So I'm going to, you know, be quiet and sit down by popular demand, and that's it.
Thank you, Walt. Let's open the floor to questions, comments from trustees. Let me start by saying, first of all, congratulations to you and your team on the bond issues, on the savings that you achieved.
Thank you for saying that, because I mean, tremendous credit goes to Randy Kangas, Sandy Street, Peter Newman, Bob Plankenhorn. I mean, they did all the heavy lifting, you know, to put our best foot forward and make this thing happen. And it had to be timely. You know, we had to go grab a great market. And
thanks to the team. You know, we almost take it for granted sometimes, that process. And I know, just from our conversations, the challenges that you all went through in that process. I think the second thing that I would just comments to the chancellors and your provost and team. I know this has been a very difficult environment to deal with. President Killeen keeps me informed constantly on what's going on with it, and I know it's been a lot of discomfort for everyone, but appreciate everyone's efforts to persevere through this process. But questions and comments. Walt covered a large area of information. Nothing. Walter, you're getting off easy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Just a quick comment on our preparations for the Senate testimony tomorrow morning, and Walt and his team have been very helpful in that. Since the testimony is all about FY17 and there's no 16 budget, it is a little novel, to say the least. We are going to focus on the urgent need to get the impasse resolved and an effective compromise in place that supports public higher education, including the University of Illinois, including MAP and the community colleges, and we're working very hard with Jennifer Creasy and Lindy Anderson's leadership to meeting with the caucuses, the Black Caucus, the Latino Caucus, the UI Caucus, the leadership, and so forth. And strenuous efforts are being made on the advocacy, and we solicit board help with that. This is a statewide issue. We're a piece of a larger puzzle, obviously, but we need to get this rectified very soon.
All right, very good. Thank you all again. Yes, Rick.
Yeah, I think you don't have any questions, because the main question we want to ask is really for the legislators and the governor. And, I mean, the big question is, so when do you think that we're going to have a budget? And then the next thing should be, what can we do? Is there anything that the trustees, that we organize a group and all head down to Springfield and support your team, all of it, in any way, shape, or form? I know that Dr. Applegate testified there in the last 10 days or so, and it was almost, I know he's a very well-respected guy, but he was almost mocked. And one guy said to him, you know, you're Dr. Applegate, not Dr. Phil, so you're not going to bring us together. And so I mean, that was a quote. So I think, I mean, we don't have questions because we're just so frustrated. I think really I'm offering myself to say, anything I can do, you need me to show up and give me some talking points, I'm happy to do it.
Appreciate that, Rick, and certainly invitation to all of you. I know you're all very busy in the things that you do day to day, but maybe President Kling, we can leave it on your desk. As you see an opportunity for us individually to collaborate with you in that process, let us know.
Well, thank you very much. There is a window right now after the primaries where there is a House bill on the floor being considered in the Senate, where a compromise could be attained and then signed. That would be an optimal outcome. But it does have a bill that funds public education, public higher education, at a level that we would be able to deliver on. So, you know, I'm an optimist, Rick, and but this has gone on far longer than I would have thought. But I think there is a window now for representations, and maybe personal representations, the key legislative leaders who are busy and involved in these discussions that are very important this week and next.
You know, I think the thing that I would add, I was listening to some commentary this weekend on Chicago media about the situation that we're in and the frustrating process of trying to come to a common ground. And the commentary I heard was, you know, this didn't happen this year. I mean, the situation that the state of Illinois is in has been building for several years. You probably go back 30 years plus and look at how this whole process started. So, number one, we're trying to resolve this year's budget and next year's. But the conversation that I've had with several people is, in addition to that, we need to develop a long-term plan of how do we get ourselves back out of the process. And I think, President Kling, more and more the legislators on both sides of the aisle are beginning to realize that it's got to be a big picture solution long term. So we need to have a solution now, but we also need to have a solution for the long term.
Exactly.
Any other comments or questions? Very good. Thank you all.